The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Welcome to all of our listeners this morning, and thanks for joining us here on another cloudy April morning. It is Friday, April 4th, and not too cold. It's actually about 50 degrees out there today. Not too bad, but I do hear that the weather forecast, we're going to get a little bit of a roller coaster along the way. We're going to have some warm days, some rainy days. I heard snow, potentially snow showers on Tuesday. My goodness. But, you know, as I say every morning at this point, it is springtime in the Berkshires. And, you know, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. That is pretty much the best advice anyone can give you around this time of the year until we get to May. And then it starts to feel like spring for me anyway. So we have a great show coming up for you. We have Jim Conant. Jim is the Ward 4 city councilor here in the city of Pittsfield. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff pertaining to Ward 4 and also larger issues affecting the city and maybe even larger than that. Who knows? We'll get into a lot of stuff here with Jim. Looking forward to our conversation. First, let's go to our weather forecast here and find out what the National Weather Service has in store for us today.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 50s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Lows in the mid 30s. North wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour, becoming east after midnight. Saturday, rain. Much cooler with highs in the lower 40s. Southeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 90%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, so we're going to have a warm one, it sounds like, today. I don't know, you know, if the rain's going to hold off, we'll find out. But we are definitely in for some of that as well. We'll see how that all plays out. We'll just take it one day at a time here for the weather, that's for sure. All right, welcome again to Morning Drive here on Friday, April 4th. And joining me now in the studio, live and local here in our WTBR studio, is Mr. Jim Conant. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Thanks for having me here. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Always glad to have you. And, you know, we try to get some time to have longer conversations with our city councilors here on the show. A lot of times the only interaction I think that residents and constituents get, aside from the phone calls that you must get as a ward councilor, is seeing you up on the dais on city council night and watching some of the big issues that happen. So we get to explore maybe some of those issues in greater depth here on a show like this. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah, no, thanks. There's no question. The ward councilors get a lot more phone calls. The younger generation sends you more emails, so it's about half and half today.
Yeah.
Just not all phone calls.
Yeah.
Probably more emails than phone calls.
Yeah.
It's always very interesting. There's always something, and I always follow back. And I would say 90% of the time we can figure it out and get it done.
Well, it's a pretty good system in Pittsfield, if you think about it, because you have seven ward councilors. The city is divided up into seven slices of a pie, essentially. And then you've got four at-large councilors that can take a look at some of the bigger issues. Of course, all councilors are voting on all the issues that are coming before the city council. So everyone sort of has to be locked in and figured all these issues out when it comes time to vote, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, it seems like every time you get into City Hall and you think this is going to be a nice normal meeting. It's something comes along and disrupts that. So it's always interesting, that's for sure.
And you're in your second term right now as a Ward 4 city councilor?
It's my second term, and I just picked up my nomination papers yesterday. So let everybody know I'm going to run again.
Yep. It is the season, isn't it?
It is. You know, there's a lot of talk about increasing the terms of the councilors to 4 years from two because of the expense of running an election, especially during the off year when, quite frankly, I think last time around, I think there was only about 20 or 25% of the electorate came out to vote.
In the sort of off mayor year, right? When you're not voting for a mayor.
And so, you know, of course, you know, the conversation always revolves around one, the ever-increasing cost that brings the voting machines out and all of that. And just the complexities of, you know, running an election and storing all the data and the votes that are collected. But so, you know, that's a concern. And the other thing is just to get, you know, more people, you know, out to vote in the community.
Get them engaged.
That's right. Yeah. You know, there's always there seems to be a group of folks that are usually engaged and have a good idea what's going on in the city, and then there seems to be another group that just doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah. Yep, I think that's pretty common. You know, it's always difficult to get people that aren't engaged. There are going to be, I think there's always that base of folks that will that will always turn out and always know what's going on. And it's hard to get that other section back in. And, you know, the city has had several hot issues, I would say, over this past term of yours, the last 2 years, that the city has had to deal with. And maybe this year the voters will look at that and say, well, you know, I think it's time that we get more engaged.
And it's just a better community when everybody's the more people you can get engaged in your community, the better it's going to be for, you know, on many issues. But yeah, I'll give you an example. You know, when we were rolling out the toters, you know, we all talked with the mayor and said, you know, we want to make sure we provide a lot of education and give a lot of feedback, and you know, we did that very effectively.
Yeah.
I think we had, you know, six meetings throughout the city, and most of them were very lowly attended.
Yeah,
and
they were carried on Pittsfield Community TV,
right?
But so, you know, hopefully that information did get out to people.
But you know, we all expected a little bumpy road on the rollout, and it was. But today, I would say in the last 4 or 5 weeks, I haven't received one complaint. So I think it's all settled down. I think it's working the way we all expected it to.
Well, and I think that is a testament to having a plan, to being transparent, right?
Yeah.
To getting the information out there for people, and then to also take suggestions back in. Okay, this is our plan. Well, we heard your feedback, and we understand, you know, what you want. Some things that the public asked for, you could have, and some things you couldn't. That wouldn't make sense. But you move forward with the plan. You know, and I think that's why it seems to have passed very easily at the council level. And then, of course, there were, like you said, there were some bumps in the road. There were some pickups. I think Ward 4 was one of the areas where there were some streets missed by Casella, for example. Did that get worked out?
I know it before Casella does.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
But, you know, we worked it out. I think one instant, you know, the truck broke down and I think really the only complaint I hear now is, you know, when it's windy, they get knocked over.
Yeah.
I don't have a solution for that. But
that does happen. And yeah. I wonder what Casella does in that case. Like, if you get a really windy day and half the trash cans that are full of garbage or full of recycles have tipped over, is someone getting out of the truck to put them back up so that it can be put in the truck? Or did they just pass by that house and not be able to pick it up?
Well, I've seen them stop to get out of the truck and straighten it out. So, but I haven't seen anybody drive by that.
Well, that's good.
I'll I'm going to say they're always doing the right thing.
Well, and you know, obviously the homeowners can help also if you, you put the can out and it falls over and you're still home and you can put it back up, for them, right?
No, exactly.
Simple. Yeah. And you know, the results, I think, speak for themselves on the trash and recycling also, right? That the recycling is up and the trash is down. That was the intended result.
Yeah. That was the whole plan, moving to this, was to reduce the volume of trash because it costs more money to haul trash out of Pittsfield.
And it was going to continue to cost more and more money every year.
We actually make some money with the recycling by going to, you know, single streams.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, in turn, you know, reflects on the lower cost of picking up the trash.
Yep.
So there's no question, you know, I don't know exactly what we're on. We're on market to save in almost $400,000 from past years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's intended, and that just get you know.
That's real dollars too, and it's $400,000 you know to the good,
right?
Not $400,000 to the bad, which would be much worse.
You know, and it just costs more to haul trash away.
Yeah,
and versus the recycling, which is there's a big recycling plant down in West Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just you know it's just economically the you know the right thing to do, you know it's. We're just joining other communities. We're a little bit slow to make that move, but we did.
Yeah.
And I think it's working pretty good.
Well, it shows also what kind of future initiatives could work out following that same path, right, of coming up with a well-thought-out plan, bringing it to the public, airing it out on multiple meetings, even if only a few show up, right? Because that's what you have to do. You have to give people the opportunity to do it and obviously get it broadcast and get it out there so people can know that it's going on and then move forward.
Right. You know, when you're dealing with the public, we're always going to have meetings for transparency and education, and no matter if 10 are there or 100 are there, we're still going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So give us an idea for our listeners here. Jim Conant, again, is our Ward 4 city councilor here in the city of Pittsfield. And for people maybe who don't pay attention all the time or know exactly where the boundaries of Ward 4 are, give us an idea of where Ward 4 is and what it looks like and what are some of the major parts of Ward 4.
Well, I think, you know, generally speaking, you know, Ward 4 is in the southeast section of Pittsfield. So, you know, that's, you know, Holmes Road from South Street to Holmes Road, Williams Street, and out to Dalton Division Road.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of curls over to include, you know, Appleton Avenue, Pittsfield High, and then it kind of juts back and forth through there, you know, street to street.
Yep.
But so you know, it's a big geographical area. It's a very traditional residential area.
Yeah.
You know, there's really no commercial businesses in there.
Not a lot of big industry like a Ward 3 would have, the Stanley Business Park, GE, for example.
So you know, it's pretty quiet. You know, there's some. We have Curbin Park, Fred Garner Park. In Ward 4, Williams Elementary School on Bushy Road into Ward 4, and Herberg Middle School is in Ward 4. You know,
And then Ward 4 has a big chunk of the Housatonic River also, right? Which has been in focus for the city for, you know, a number of years over the reconstruction, essentially, and the cleaning of that river by GE. And that's something, as a person who's been on the Conservation Commission for how many years?
Hard to believe, but it's coming up to 25.
So you've been intimately involved and connected with some of the things that are going on with the river and with that whole process.
Yes. So I think I've attended over the last couple of years probably, you know, 10 meetings with the EPA to talk about, you know, what their plans were and, you know, what you liked and what you didn't like of those plans, and those discussions, they've led to some substantial improvements, I feel, because one of the things with the rest of the river cleanup is, you know, it's heavily going to impact Ward 4, a little bit of Ward 5, but mostly Ward 4, because most of the cleanup is from Fred Garner Park, you know, right through Southeast Pittsfield and, you know,
down
through
into Lenox.
Canal Meadows and right down into Lenox till you get down to Woods Pond in Lenoxdale. You know, the first thing I was concerned about was, you know, their proposal to, you know, excavate out, you know, oxbows, the PCBs or contamination is there where, you know, they're over the thresholds. And the amount of trucks that were going to be needed because, you know, they were going to dig it out. Dewater it, so it was going to have to be stored someplace on like a plateau and let it dry out so they could haul it away and specially designed trucks that weren't not going to allow any dust or dirt or anything else to leak out.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were looking at, you know, over 70 truckloads a day on Eastern Lenox Road. Mm. And I said, fellas, you know, let's put ourselves to here, our heads together here. We've got to come up with something to try to mitigate that. Because that, you know,
I would think that road, and that is not a very heavily traveled road any means, right? Nope. Imagine that kind of truck traffic.
Well, that would have been the end of the road, physically.
Yeah.
And so they realized that and agreed with that, and so they were going to rebuild a new road. But that still wasn't good enough, you know, for me. So out of those conversations, we ended up, you know, talking more about a rail option, which is very expensive to set up a new spur off that existing line.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it for a minute, you got to have the spur off of that line. You're going to have a big work area because they're going to be moving the material over to there. It's going to be sitting on some type of temporary, you know, concrete pad, and then you're going to have to get it into a specially designed train cars. They're going to be able to get sealed and take it away. So, you know, I told them, I said, well, from my standpoint, I don't care what it costs.
Yeah.
I said, you know, but you know, they do.
But yeah, that's going to figure in, no doubt.
But anyway, the conversation kind of, drifted to, you know, no rail spurs to, we have an agreement to do one, over by a similar location near the wastewater treatment plant.
Okay.
So, you know, that's out of the way. It's not going to be, you know, noisy and people aren't going to really see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one good feature. The other tremendous improvement is they're going to use, you know, hydraulic removal of the sediment instead of actually trying to use it with machines.
Hmm. And what does that mean? Is it basically like a big vacuum of some kind?
Yeah. Exactly. Mm. So they'll have they can do a couple of ways. They can have a barge on the river and use it that way, and or they can set up a machine that's just going to move the device as it removes the sediment from the targeted areas. And so the last couple of years, they've done a tremendous amount of field study down there. There's during the summertime, there's somebody, you know, down there almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
So they have plenty of data. They, you know, I feel really confident that, you know, about that.
And it's been a long process, right? I mean, people remember some of the reconstruction on the Housatonic River in Pittsfield from the GE plant down to Fred Garner Park, right? That was really the first big section. And people have seen the evidence of that, some of the major, you know, sort of the riprap or whatever, the rocks that they've rebuilt some of the boundaries of the river, you know, and cleaned it up as they took out the sediment. Is it some of that going to look the same down there?
Right. So, you know, everybody can remember the initial cleanup.
Yeah.
But the one thing that that's different than as you get farther away, the higher level contaminants was closer to the old plant.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, they really removed a lot of material and put up the riprap. And
yeah, they had to do that first, right? Yeah.
So a lot of what's going on the rest of the river is not, they're not going to quite do that because it's less invasive of the material.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking.
Right, right. I guess there's another hot spot down at Woods Pond and
yes.
Lenox, and that's obviously a lot of the press and a lot of the attention, I think, and rightfully so in some ways, has been put toward where that material is going and in the town of Lee and the controversy. Certainly anyone listening in Lee right now understands, you know, this, how important this is down there as well.
Yeah, I understand it. I don't think it's that great an idea to create a disposal area and the old gravel yard down there, but they're trying to go to court, but they have a deal with the EPA, so yeah. I think that court challenges day is gone past.
So
we have to just try to make the best of the cleanup that we can, and it's it's not time to do nothing anymore. It's time to do something.
Yeah. And your experience, obviously, with the Conservation Commission over the years, you've been involved with this a lot, and you've seen, as you mentioned, people from the EPA coming and going. And now with the current situation with the federal government, and you hear every single day whole swaths of people being, fired or laid off from departments, including the EPA, how much confidence do you have that sort of this whole thing going forward will still be done in a competent manner? Let's put it that way. And there's a lot of ways I could ask that question, but I think that's the biggest one, right? You know, we're in the middle of this process. We want to see it completed. The EPA is a pretty major stakeholder in that. And, are they still going to be there when this process goes along?
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, every day is a headline. Every day seems to be more shocking than the next day.
Yeah.
You just have to be hopeful, I guess, at this point. But I share your concern. There's only so many people that you can lay off before any organization is not going to function as efficiently as
right.
it should. And so we'll have to see.
Yeah. Well, we can only hope for the best there. And
but I wanted to get back. I wanted to get back to the Conservation Commission.
Yeah.
Surprisingly enough, the Conservation Commission is not really involved in the rest of the river project because of the consent decree, which was agreed upon by all the entities. That puts us out of it.
Okay. And that was something that was signed in the late 90s, 98,
right.
99, somewhere
right.
in that range.
So there's always a fine line of something they're doing that's not covered in the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we get involved.
Huh.
But it's not a big piece of the pie.
Yep. But generally speaking, there are a lot of issues that the Conservation Commission does have jurisdiction over.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much any time you're dealing with water, right? Which
right.
we happen to have a lot of
well,
here in Pittsfield. We have two lakes and the Housatonic River and lots of other ponds. And
yeah, the community's really blessed with three big bodies of water.
Yeah.
You know, Pontoosic and Anoda Lakes
yep.
and Richmond Pond.
Yeah.
And
you also have Moorhead Lake and Silver Lake, right?
Right. Right. So I saw some people skating on Silver Lake this winter.
Hey, that's an improvement.
Yeah. Well, when I was a child, Silver Lake didn't freeze.
No, I know.
So well, it
shows that things
right.
can get better.
That's
things
right.
can things can be done.
I forget where I was going now. But
bodies of water and Conservation Commission.
The Conservation Commission generally, there's an activity in a wetland is defined, a buffer zone, floodplain. And, of course, with the Housatonic River and some of all the other little numerous perennial brooks that are in town almost all the time, you know, something comes up.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So if you have a property nearby one of those within so many feet, 100, 300 feet, something like that,
yeah,
of a body of water.
Yeah, it depends what type of body of water, stream or what you're talking about. Yeah. But
and you're trying to make some kind of change to your property or building or improvement or something, you may end up dealing directly with the Conservation Commission.
Well, there's some safeguards for, like, notification. So if you want to get a building permit.
Hmm.
One of the features is conservation agent has to sign off on it. So yep. That, you know, it gets a look right there. So, you know, you're not going to, you know, start something and then all of a sudden find out you're non-compliance of some other ordinance.
Yeah, over the years of watching some of the Conservation Commission meetings, I would say that the worst thing you can do is go ahead and do something and then find out later that you have to pull it all back out because it wasn't permitted or it wasn't allowed.
Right. But, you know, the bodies of water, they need management today. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of folks, they just think, you know, lakes are there and, you know, they freeze and thaw and they're great. Mm-hmm. And they have fish in them. And a lot of people used to think that for years and years. And we all know today that with cyanobacteria blooms and ongoing issues with, you know, possible zebra mussel introduction into the lake. You know, you really have to manage the lakes these days. Although, if you want to keep them healthy and as pristine as they are, you know, that includes, you know, vegetation management and so on and so forth. So there's a lot to it.
Mm.
You know, they're just... And
it has to be done carefully, too, right?
Yeah, right.
And there's a lot of opinions about how to do things, especially the weed management.
And I know all those people very well. So there's always, you know, two sides of an issue, and I respect that, and, you know, I welcome that.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, sometimes, you know, you want everybody's, you know, input, and usually... it makes something better.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm always welcome to that.
Yep. It's easy to think that things would just sail right through if you just had one person making all the decisions. Yep. But that's not the way a democracy works.
No.
You have multiple different people who can bring input and change. And, you know, sometimes things don't go quite as fast. But maybe that isn't the worst thing in the world if you can make a better decision.
And the only controversial thing that we have going on in Ward 4 is the proposed bus unit. Battery energy storage system unit on William Street behind the co-op drive-in bank. And so that's going through the processes now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in front of the Conservation Commission right now, but it still has to go through, you know, a process through the Community Development Board.
Mm. And what's a little more background on that? Why was it cited there?
The best units are basically they're a newer technology that helps put energy into the grid and during high demands.
Mm-hmm.
So years ago they would use a peaker plant, and we have a peaker plant in Pittsfield. It's out on Merrill Road.
Right. The one with the three big stacks.
Mm-hmm. And so that is outdated technology because it runs on natural gas.
Right.
And that peaker plant works.
Yep. But it's a polluter, essentially.
It's a big polluter. So I think at some point, you know, you're looking at, you know, the decommissioning of that, you know, somewhere in the next 10 years.
Yep.
There's no plans for that right now. I want to make that real clear.
Yeah.
But so the best unit as batteries are charged with electricity that goes by, and of course they're looking for a grid on a street that's carrying, you know, 20,000 to 40,000 volts on the very top wire.
Mm. So some of the high tension wires nearby so you can tie in.
Right. Mm-hmm. So in this case, you know, they want to tie out into William Street because, you know, that high voltage is coming out of the Doreen Street substation.
Yeah.
So that's great, but this thing was proposed before we had zoning that protected, that would protect that area and make that area not available for that usage. So they got in there before that was an ordinance. And so we're working through the process now. And I think the next hearing in front of the Conservation Commission is in May.
So the big question is whether you site something like that nearby a residential neighborhood,
right,
especially.
And that's the issue. And it's a questionable location. It's far from ideal.
Are there wetlands issues there too, or is it just residential?
The area is in a, what we call a buffer zone. So it's one of these areas where it gets wet this time of the year, and then depending on what type of rain you get during the summer, it might dry up. But it, like right now, it gets wet, and then in periods of extended rainfall, it's a traditional historical area that floods back there. So the back of that building where the eye center is, that floods and so forth. So, in theory, if you're going to try to build a building there, you can have a little driveway, a little parking lot to park, about six cars there.
Yeah.
Are you displacing water? Where's that water going? They're going to, they trigger a storm water ordinance for Pittsfield. And, of course, then they'll put, storm water system in there, but they're going to, is it going to infiltrate? So, you get all this data, all these questions, and that's all part of the process.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, too. I think we can all understand how beneficial more battery storage might be to be able to take peaker plants offline, for example. It's just a matter of, can you do it smartly, right?
Can we build that? And, this is, I have to be careful what I say, but it's, there's better locations than that one, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's not, probably will not be the last one that we talk about also as technology.
I mean, they're putting these up in communities, all over the United States. And so as these peaker plants, are considered out of date. And so we'll see.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see. Well, Jim Conant is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive. We have reached that top of the hour. We're going to take a quick break here and come back and talk more about roads, bridges, potholes, all kinds of different public works stuff with Jim Conant, the Ward 4 City Councilor here in the city of Pittsfield. And we'll be right back after this on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Have you ever dreamed of being a radio DJ, spinning your favorite vinyl, CDs, and MP3s? Have you ever wanted to share conversations with interesting guests with the community? Then the WTBR-FM Programming Committee wants to hear from you. We are now accepting proposals for new programs. For more information, visit WTBRFM.com or call 445-4234. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
If you or someone you care about has experienced or is currently dealing with sexual or domestic abuse, Elizabeth Freeman Center is here for you, day or night, whether you're ready to take action or just want to talk. You are not alone. Call our free and confidential hotline to speak to a counselor today at 866-401-2425. That's 866-401-2425, or visit our website at elizabethfreemancenter.org.
Every Sunday night at 10 p.m., something strange happens to the airwaves of WTBR-FM. It's called The Mix. It is an experience like no other on this part of the planet. Witness a collection of fresh and classic beats that are guaranteed to make you move. The best part is, it is mixed completely live, uncut, unedited. So, for an exciting end to the weekend, tune your radio to WTBR-FM Sunday nights from 10 to midnight for The Mix.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to The Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and listening as well on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Welcome to all of our listeners this morning, and thanks for joining us with our conversation with Jim Conant. He is the Ward 4 City Councilor here in the city of Pittsfield, and we'll get right back to that conversation in just a moment. First, let's take one more look at the weather forecast and see what we have in store for us coming up today.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming mostly sunny. Highs in the upper 50s. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Lows in the mid 30s. North wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour, becoming east after midnight. Saturday, rain. Much cooler with highs in the lower 40s. Southeast wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 90%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okay, so we're going to have a rainy Saturday. That's the upshot from that weather forecast. I have heard a little bit of a roller coaster in the weather department, some warm, some colder, some rains, a little bit of snow coming on Tuesday. We've got the whole panoply of weather coming at you, but that is what we're looking at. So maybe not Saturday as the best day for a yard cleanup if that's what you're planning on doing. I know a lot of us would love to get out there and start making our lawns look a little nicer, but maybe we just wait a day on that one. All right. Welcome again to Morning Drive. Glad to have you here. And thanks, Jim Conant, for being here and talking to us today about Ward 4 in the city of Pittsfield.
Thanks, Sean. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. So I can't interview a ward counselor without asking about potholes.
It's our favorite subject.
That is just, part and parcel of what we do. But I did interview Commissioner Morales a week or two ago. And he actually said, because I said, well, everyone always says this is the worst year for potholes ever. And he responded by saying, well, this year they may be right. What's your opinion of the situation on the roads and how we're moving forward to address it?
I think it's probably the worst that I can remember. But you look at the winter that we had.
Yeah.
Every time you have a winter where you get into a very cold and then a thaw.
Mm-hmm.
And
then a quick freeze.
The asphalt, yeah. it heaves up and down. And if you got some slight cracks in it, then so long.
Yeah.
And so, I don't look at social media, but people tell me what's on it. And
well, good for you.
Yeah. No, and
you're probably a much happier person.
Yeah. No, you just, most of it's just a commentary on people that really need to find out what's really going on. But I think, people need to understand that, we have over 450 lane miles of road in this city. We don't have 40 men down there. We don't have 30 men down there. I don't even think we have 20 men down there. I think we have 19.
On the roads, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I salute them. They work very hard every day.
Yep.
They move around the best they can. And I think they've done a really a robust job of, you know, getting it from where it was a couple of weeks ago, where it was a minefield.
Yeah.
The only minefield that I know of now is the bridge on Center Street Extension.
Mm-hmm.
So beware, everybody. If you go over that bridge, go really slow.
South Street was looking pretty rough, and Commissioner was telling me that so, there's quite a bit of work coming up this year on the main road.
So I might repeat what he said, but you know, the good news is for South Street, because I get a lot of complaints about South Street.
And that's right on your ward,
and the other side's Councillor Cavey's. Mm-hmm. And so the Mass DOT is going to repave South Street from South Mountain Road to the intersection of West and East Housatonic.
Right, which is amazing, right? Right. To have that kind of work.
So, you know, we love that when the DOT does that and it puts a smile on our face. You know, that's a multi-million dollar project that, quite frankly, that we just wouldn't be able to tackle.
And got to be one of the most heavily traveled roads in the entire county, right?
Right.
Section of Route 7.
Yeah, Route 7. The last thing I knew, there was something like 18,000 cars a day.
And not to mention the trucks, right? Because it's a major truck route.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's just huge.
Yep.
So, in the other DOT, Mass DOT jobs that they're going to be doing are, they're just getting started on East Street from Lyman down to the Little League Field.
Yep.
And that's going to be the Complete Streets program. So for people that are not familiar with the Complete Streets program, that's a state concept that they use when they're doing their roads for it, and provides safe transportation for vehicles, pedestrians, and bicyclists.
Right.
So you're going to have a bike lane down there, new sidewalks, and a new road.
Hmm.
And so that's all needed.
Yeah, definitely.
And that hasn't been done. That's kind of bumpy through there.
Yep. And that's also going to accommodate, the traffic in and out of the William Stanley Business Park, the Berkshire Innovation Center. And again, you know, that area hasn't been as active as it was probably the last time the road was done, which was when GE was still here.
That's right. I can't remember that East Street being done since they've taken down the buildings from the plant, the old plant.
I mean, it was definitely before they did the Merrill Road Bridge over, and that was a huge project, and that was in the early 2000s.
And finally, the last big DOT job is North Street.
Hmm.
Not downtown,
right?
But from Tyler Street out to the Lanesboro line.
Right.
And boy, that road needs it.
Yeah. And the commissioner also mentioned to me that eventually that First Street is going to get some love as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's in the works. So thank God for that partnership. And I think, the roads, there's a couple of streets that didn't get done from city funds last year. And the only one in Ward 4 that didn't get done last year was Joseph Drive. And that's going to get repaved here later in April.
Okay.
So, a lot of residents sit on the edge of their chair to find out if their street is going to be included in new pavement.
Yeah.
But none of that's been decided for 2025 yet. As you know, it's a budgetary thing, and we don't want to make a commitment so earlier. Normally by now we would have already announced what streets are going to get done, but you know, with the funding question looming around, I think we're just, you know, putting it off just a little bit longer we're more comfortable with the numbers.
Well, and the city budget process is, we're basically on the cusp of that right now, right? Any day now, I assume the mayor will be delivering the city budget to the city council. I don't know exactly when that happens. It's usually this time of the year, April or May.
Yeah, it's usually like process the first of May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that will, I'm sure, dictate a certain amount of what funding will be coming. And then once you know that, then you can start to say, okay, how many miles of road can we do this year? And the commissioner, I'm sure, is involved with figuring out, okay, which roads are in the worst shape? Which ones are, you know, beyond the three major ones that we talked about, the more residential streets, the ones that people see on their way home, you know, and they hit those holes every single time and they say, when is this going going to get done.
Right.
Those are the ones that people care about a lot.
That's right. Those are the ones. And the other thing that we don't talk about as much are sidewalks. Mm. I get plenty of conversations over the year about sidewalks, especially in the older sections. Mm-hmm. Bartlett Ave, Wendell Ave, those are the old powerhouse neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And, the sidewalks have not had any attention in decades. Mm-hmm. And they're cracked and, tree roots come up and so forth. So we've been able to make some improvements there with some new sidewalk work on Bartlett and Wendell Avenues.
Mm-hmm.
Those are long streets.
Yeah.
And, those homes were grand homes built in the day. And, people walked to work back then.
Yeah.
But they still receive a lot of activity there. A lot of people like to get out and walk around in the afternoon. And, if you don't have a decent sidewalk, mm-hmm. well, then as you get older, you worry about falling down.
Right.
And so that it becomes, it's an issue.
Yeah. And, of course, the ADA work on some of the sidewalks is important, too. The older sidewalks may not have the grade or the kinds of things that a wheelchair might need or a scooter might need. And a lot of people rely on that, especially in a downtown area, right, to keep them safe from the traffic. You don't want to see the scooters and the wheelchairs out in the road because the sidewalks are not good.
Yeah. So and moving on about with transportation issues, it, probably the biggest conversations I have with Ward 4 residents is automobile speeders.
Mm-hmm.
Holmes Road.
Yep.
Williams Street. There's others, but those are in Ward 4.
Yeah.
And
is that because those are cut-through streets, people trying to avoid the main routes to get somewhere?
Yeah, that's right. It's mm-hmm. it's just folks that decide they're going to travel, 55 in a 40 zone, 45 zone, mm-hmm. something like that.
Or a 30 zone.
And, of course, some people think that, a police officer is supposed to be sitting in his cruiser there all day long, and that doesn't – that's not good policing. It's not good use of resources. There is a traffic division. They are out there. They do write hundreds of tickets mm-hmm. every year. And then they move around because, they have to.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks think that they're never there, but I know they're there.
Yeah.
I've seen them there.
Well, and certainly Holmes Road has a traffic, or a, what would you call it, a traffic calming measure in the form of a speed hump that was put in, and that did garner some attention and some controversy in some ways. What's your opinion there?
So out of the speeding issue that we have as a society, it's just not Pittsfield.
Of course.
I was on the turnpike a couple of days ago. I'm looking down. I'm going 75, and people are going right by me at 90. Yeah. I mean, way by me.
I think I just heard that New York was going to put in a law to severely punish people going 100 miles an hour or more. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I'm sure there are people going 100 miles, but is that really a problem? And I think it must be if they're thinking of a law for it.
I think one of the possible legislations are moving through the legislature in Massachusetts is a law allowing police and communities to issue speeding tickets via a camera.
Because mm-hmm.
right now you can't.
Can't do that in Massachusetts. Can do it in New York.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suspect that's probably going to move through pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And maybe this time next year when you're on the turnpike and you go through one of those ticket checkers, your easy pass checker.
Yeah, the gantries.
The gantries, mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. the term I was looking for. And everybody's going to be going a lot slower for them because everybody's going to know where they are because mm-hmm. that's the place you're going to get a ticket.
Well, and it could face some backlash too. And I know that there are some street level cameras that are being put in New York, for example, where you can't have a police officer with a cruiser sitting there waiting to ticket people. but now people are getting automatic tickets based on their license plate, you know, either going through a red light or speeding in a certain area or something. And I wonder how much of the Big Brother is going to get into that. I just I wonder how much pushback there will be.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk about speed bumps.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's another traffic calming measure. The one on Holmes Road was put there as a result of a elementary school student getting hurt by a car. Mm. And
that's very serious.
Yeah, it was very serious. And so, we, you know, we're all very determined to make it safer, especially for children.
Yep.
You know, I think about it every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have three kids of my own that went through the public school systems.
Yep.
You know, parents, you know, then I wouldn't say worry all day about the kids' safety, but it's on top of their mind.
It's a good chunk of the day.
Yeah, it's a good chunk of the day. So, you know, the speeding is an issue. And so, you know, the Holmes Road speed bump, it works.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that.
Was it
controversial? Yes.
It's brought the speed down in that area?
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. But, you know, again, people were not expecting it when it was there. They just ignored the signs that were there. And, then they bottomed out their car. You can see some of the scrapes in the asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's not happening anymore because, you know, people are slowing down.
Yeah. And signage is important, too,
right? The signage is critical, you know. And, you know, not only just right near it, but, you know, about 40 feet out, you know, let people know.
Yeah.
Start, you know, slowing down right there because, you know, you really, you know, your speed over that is about 25 miles an hour.
Yeah. It must be a balance, too, though, because you can't put them everywhere, right?
No, you can't. And I've gotten more requests over the last year for people looking for speed bumps.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, it's about a process.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't understand how slowly government turns.
Mm-hmm.
It's slow. It moves slow.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, these speed bumps, you know, depending on what you're doing, they can cost anywhere between, you know, $20,000 or $80,000. You know, the signage, you know, these signs with the solar blinking lights on them and everything, and those things are, you know, there's $7,000-$9,000 each, depending on what you got.
Yeah.
So there's a real cost assigned to it, and you know. We have a budget, so, you know, we're doing so many bumps a year, so many new signs a year, because all the ward counselors want a solar sign.
Mm-hmm.
I push to get solar signs, blinking signs put at every crosswalk near a school.
Mm. So, well, I would imagine every ward has some problematic intersections,
right? And those are the ones that I'm concentrating on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm concerned about the sidewalk on William Street that services Williams School, Bushy Road. And I'm also concerned about, you know, the sidewalks at Herberg.
Yep.
There's multiple of them. And it's also concerning to me because, you know, there's multiple sidewalks across there. And then parents today, modern America, there's so many parents picking up their children in their personal cars at the end of school, that, you know, it's like Times Square around at Pittsville High School is like Times Square. Herberg is there's, you know, there's 30 or 40 cars parked along that road.
It really is the evolution, isn't it, of kids going to school. It used to be all kids would walk to school because there was a neighborhood school within walking distance, sure. And then there was, okay, everybody had to get on the bus. And then now it's with maybe a small minority of people being picked up by their parents. And now, like you said, it's a really big chunk.
And there's a lot of reasons why parents do it. So, you know, some parents, you know, the bus might come a little bit too early. Maybe, you know, their house isn't quite organized that well in the morning. I remember those days.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're finishing up breakfast and getting on your coat, and it's a lot easier to get an extra 15 or 20 minutes if you bring them there yourself. Yeah. If you can do that,
But the school infrastructure and parking lots and driveways and stuff weren't designed for that.
They're never designed for that because, you know, all these schools that were built mostly now in the 50s or maybe early 60s during the last, you know, economic boom in Pittsfield. And so, you know, like you said, they're just not designed for that. You know, you look at their parking lots. I mean, I think some of the teachers must have walked to school. There's not a lot of spaces, at these, especially at the elementary schools. So it's an interesting phenomena to me. And there's a lot of walkers, especially at Herberg. So I'm really concerned about that, and I'm always working on something to make improvements there, better signage. You know, speed bumps, I think, are a future. I'm not going to say where quite yet, but they're going to be a future because it's, you know, when you're talking with school kids that sometimes aren't paying attention, anything we can do.
Many times they're not paying attention, but we do have to protect them. Jim Conan is my guest here, Ward 4 City Councilor in the city of Pittsfield. And while we're talking about education, let's just hop over to that. And, you know, the schools in Pittsfield, their plan to maybe reduce the number of schools and change the way that people go to both elementary school in the city and potentially also middle school. Have any thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, you bet.
we only got 3 minutes left. So.
Well, I think they're heading in the right direction because when you look at all the data that we have, we have a big exodus of students once they get out of the grammar school. So at when they leave fifth grade and it's time to go to middle school, it's 6 through 8, that's when they leave. And they start dispersing to other communities. So we know this. We've known this for a long time. And so we're trying to make those two schools, you know, they want to put the fifth and sixth in one building and the seventh and eighth in another building. I think that's a good idea. There's a big age gap there. And so let's, you know, let's morph them into two different things.
Fifth graders and eighth graders, very different animals.
with, we all know how inadequate, you know, Crosby and the Conte buildings are. They were left out in the last rehab cycle. And so, you know, the current thought is to build a new Crosby school, which I support. We haven't built a new elementary school here in Pittsfield in almost 60 years. And that's unfortunate. They kicked the can down to us, but that's where it's at. But with that new building, we'll be able to close Conte and Morningside, and they can get repurposed for something else, either, you know, privately, a possible, you know, new home apartment type of a project. So, you know, there's endless amount of opportunities there. And
certainly Crosby site is a beautiful site for a school. It has to be a school because it's deeded that
that's
way.
That's right. Judge Crosby deeded that way. That's that's a fact. So it's going to have to be a school or nothing.
So lots of things happening. Obviously, the Pittsfield Public Schools were accepted into the process of the school building authority from the state of Massachusetts. So that's a really positive sign. That means that the state funding will be forthcoming for it. Otherwise, the city would not be able to build a new building. You know, there just wouldn't be the funding for it, right?
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, I always have some folks that say, you know, we can't afford this and we can't do this. And, you know, well, if we couldn't, then we wouldn't even propose it in the first place. So, you know.
Are you concerned about the level of federal funding that might affect the schools?
Well, it is. It's, you know, you just don't know. And, you know, it shudders me to think of what possibly could happen. But, you know. We'll see what it goes. But when it comes to the, you know, the state mechanism with the school buildings needs authority, you know, you're looking at probably about a 75% contribution from the state. And so the taxpayers are only going to have to pay 25% of that building. That's a deal you just can't turn your back on.
And it's a long-term investment
and
for the city.
And it's a long-term, you know, that's a 50, 60, 70-year investment.
Yeah.
And so that school's going to be functioning for a long time.
As we've seen from the schools that we have already, and, you know, with a little bit of care, they last a long time, but then at some point,
and
time to go.
If you need some motivation, I always tell this to folks. I said, during the middle of the Great Depression, we built the most iconic structure in this town on East Street, and that's Pittsfield High School.
That's absolutely
without
right.
No federal aid, no state aid.
It was a different time.
It was just on the taxpayers of Pittsfield and during the hardest economic time of our history.
And we're there.
We found a way to do it.
Jim Conant, Ward 4 City Councilor, thank you so much.
It's always a
pleasure.
You'll
be back. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend.